Are there any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Something else we did is we looked at local other nonprofits and what they see their executive directors. So some of it also is kind of regional.
Yes.
Because you may have, I mean, obviously, different parts of the country, you have different
right.
So we looked at locally. Do we have an idea of what we compared to other similar nonprofits?
Yeah, good. So she, did you all hear that? She compared themselves to other nonprofits in their community to see where the range would be. Yeah. Okay. Well, if there aren't any other questions, I am going. Oh, sure. You. Okay, July 1st. Uh huh. Yeah, okay, so you don't do your budget until July, and the fiscal year has already started, so you start your fiscal year without having a budget. Okay. Right. Yeah, so that kind of puts a wrench into it because you went for setting, not for doing the evaluation, you could do that. Well, I would say that CareNet, we start our, again, we have a July 1st, it's our the beginning of our fiscal year. Our budget is done and sealed and approved by June 25th so that we can start the new fiscal year out knowing exactly what we have. So, yeah, I think that starting that process earlier rather than later, because you're already entered into the area that you're spending money. So how do you spend money you haven't approved yet? Yeah. I think most centers that start their fiscal year in January probably start the budget process in October. Yeah, and it's final by the end of the year. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, I'm going to get some of those at the lunch break. So we do have some more. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to turn the time over.
Yeah, what time? Switch.
Yeah, I'm going to switch.
So if any questions.
Yeah, any other questions while we switch over the laptops?
And I have a question for the audience. How many of you have seen the CareNet website and know how to go on?
Okay.
About half the room has not. I would like to
do you want to borrow this?
I'm going to take a minute. Keep talking.
Okay. It just occurred to me, if you aren't familiar with this tool that we have provided for you, it would be a really great tool to have. So we'll get that up in a minute. What we wanted to do is get a library of board materials and center materials available to everybody in the United States. So we're using a website. Your director has a login name and ID number. And board chairs, you can get it from her and access.
They can create their own. As long as your information is in our database and your director can get that information to us, you can create your own username and password. I just unplugged. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to briefly walk you through it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me log in.
Center survey of director's salary, it's on this website. But board members, if you don't know it's here to use,
I think I might have changed my password.
We've got policies and procedure samples. We have bylaw samples. We have questions to everything we can give you to use answered on the website. So let's just take a brief right-hand turn here and show you a tool that half the room needs to know.
Do we have internet in here? No, we do.
care-org is the website. There's a login, and you can have your own, and you can
I'm going to give this to you so they can hear you. Put this on your put it here somewhere on your back.
And then you've got webinars. And if you would click Center Insights Library, Donna. Thank you. It will bring up over here on your left, affiliation, standards, service benefits, human resources, leadership, legal practices, center self-assessment, financial accounting, spiritual encouragement. Look at all those things at your fingertips. Wow, are you impressed? These are the tools for you to use. Thank you, Donna. And it goes further and further. But we've got some stuff. So as a board member, you go, what? We got your back. Okay, this part of the presentation, I would like to motivate you to pay attention to. We are serving our Lord. We are Christian people. And our hearts are so pure. This is such a hard work, and we're leaning in with our time and our finances. And who wouldn't love what we do? Unfortunately, a lot of people. And we have enemies who are after us. NARAL, Planned Parenthood, some state attorneys, some attorney generals across the states. I'll be exemplifying this, but this is a pay attention, wake up, because I'm going to try to prepare you for those that want a piece of our tail, you might say. Also, the IRS is not exactly the friend of people who view what we believe in. I used to think that, but after Lerner was held up for correction, she was heading up the IRS, and it was found out that she did lead targets of conservative Christian organizations like us. So I want to prepare you so that our centers are well protected by your governance and leadership. I just wanted to introduce that to get your attention. All right, I will cross in front of you. And my contact information is there. And let's get my handouts in your hand. Thank you, Saul. I like to stand in front and tell you how to do it. Tell directors how to do it. Tell board members. But you know what? I also sit on local pregnancy center boards. And it's one thing to sit at a seminar and capture great ideas. And it's quite another thing to take those great ideas to your fellow board members and staff who might not understand fully what you're trying to present. And there's nothing more frustrating than to hear a really good idea at a CareNet board conference like we're doing right now, and then trying to bring it back to your fellow board members who don't know what you're talking about, haven't captured the vision that you've captured at conference. So if that were to be the case, you could certainly bring me in or other consultants to talk and train with your board and your director. It's a great service that CareNet wants to provide for you. And there's the contact information. So what I expect you to know out of these minutes I have together, is that good or is that bad? Yeah, you can hear me. This is for education only and for guidance and advice on specific local situations, contact a local attorney or a CPA. So we're going to start off with looking at an overview of recent national attacks on pregnancy center from NARAL reports. We're going to look at Planned Parenthood press remarks, marketing documents, and we're going to look at some attorney general investigations.
Perhaps you had the good fortune of serving in a state that's had an attorney general investigation. Areas that you really need to be aware of to protect your sinner is state legislation, city legislation, and hostile media coverage, local and national. And now I'm going to proceed to give you some pointers on how to do that. Attorney general investigations. These are based on accusations that you, dear people, sitting in this room with your precious pregnancy centers, they accuse your center and the centers in your state of violating consumer protection laws. Now, perhaps you're trying to stretch your mind and think, and what consumer protection law would we violate in a pregnancy center? They have lots. Advertising or answering a telephone across state lines. And otherwise, if CareNet calls Oklahoma to cheer your center on, you have just now come under the purview of the consumer protection laws because you've engaged in interstate commerce. And that's how they get you. Do we have any extras? Well, if you don't, I will put this up. Yeah. You've got my contact information, and I will send you some. If not, I'll go over this slowly. So, do you have an extra? Got one. Board members that work together.
We're too short.
I've got. We have a friend. Too short isn't too bad. So, consumer protection laws would affect your center with deceptive advertising. Would you mean to be deceptive in your advertising? No. But we had only advertise in certain ways. The biggest accusation we get is that we lie to women in our advertising. So what we want you to do on your website is put, we do not recommend provide or refer for abortion. Or we don't provide abortion, either sentence you want. That way, on your website, we have told the American public what you could expect. On your intake forms, okay, do we like it like this?
You hear?
Are we good? Okay. On your intake form, you have your client signing the same thing. Also on your intake form, you have your client signing that if we have to report to the police or social services abuse, sexual abuse, or intent to harm themselves or others, we will report. Another thing we get is fake medical. I cannot tell you how frustrating it is to work with legislators across the country that accuse us of being fake medical. It's a lie. All of our centers have a medical director who has a medical license. That is a felony, stupid thing to do, is to be involved in practicing medicine without a license. We don't do it. But I have yet to hear an allegation that we aren't fake medical. I spoke to 3 legislative sessions this year, and each time the legislators said, you're fake medical. And I said, no, we have a licensed doctor as a medical director. But they're still accusing us. So be prepared on that one. So what does an attorney general investigation look like? It would be a subpoena requesting your bylaws, center advertisements, statistics, training manuals, internal policies and procedures, your policy and procedures manual. What a subpoena looks like is it's handed out by a uniformed officer that usually has a gun on their hip, and you usually don't know it's coming. It can really startle your staff. We got the first one in the state of New York. Spitzer was attorney general, just voted in attorney general of the state of New York, and he raised money and campaigned that he would shut down the pregnancy centers. So, right away, he has a subpoena.
And boy, was that a shock to pregnancy centers. And it was also a blessing because all over, and this was state of New York, all over New York there were churches starting petitions. There were big law firms that were calling CareNet and saying, we'll work for you free. We'll protect you. And you know what? That was completely pushed back. When the dust settled, there was one small pregnancy center in upstate New York that didn't have the right heading in their yellow page advertising. Everything else was put down. And Spencer himself had some difficulties after that. So, just a note for the file. These tacky little bylaws we mentioned, make sure they're up to date and clear. And if your bylaws are not up to date and clear, for instance, if your bylaws say you will have 8 to 12 members as your board of directors and you have 4 and you intend to have 4, then you amend your bylaws to say you will have 4 to so many directors. You make sure that you're following your bylaws and your bylaws are current. You have the power to change your bylaws. You do it by a vote of the board. But read your bylaws and see how they say you'll change them. Usually it's a unanimous vote of the board. Or sometimes it says a two-thirds. But you change your own bylaws, you change the words, you date when you did it, and that's all there is to it. Your bylaws are not written in cement. They have to be accurate. Does that make sense? Okay, then we talk about training materials. CareNet has some great training materials. Make sure you're using good training materials. Your policy and procedures manual. Directors, board members, this is the irritation of serving the Lord and having to comply with standards. Policies and procedures manuals are a must now. But there are certain stages of your center. If you are a center that's in the infancy stage, you don't need those old policies and procedures manuals. We are just making it up as we go along. We're on fire. We're serving our community's needs. But no, you need policies and procedures. You got to write them down. Why do you need it? Because you are running a corporation. Now, we know we're running a pregnancy center, but our pregnancy centers are incorporated because you have IRS designation, and that designation allows you to give receipts to your donors. And so, really, your governing body is the IRS. They aren't friendly. That's why you have to have policies and procedures. If you had one big fat donor who could dump down $500,000 every year and doesn't want a tax receipt, you could run your center different. But I haven't seen that happen very often. So we are 501c3 corporations. Let's talk about NARAL investigation. NARAL is defined for you here, National Abortion Rights Action League. All across the country, and they have websites to encourage this all across the country, they are just motivated to pick on us, more so than ever. As the power and influence of a pregnancy center increases, they are increasingly after us. They send fake clients into our centers. They call our centers over the phone, recording the conversation, and they do not start the conversation out, "Hello, this is NARAL, we're recording you." No. And they request our 990s, which is okay, because as a public corporation, your 990s are up on a website anyway. GuideStar is the name of the website, and it's kind of fun if you are stuck in your hotel room. You can get on GuideStar, and I've got it at the back of your handout, I believe, Deb. It's GuideStar, and you can see the 990s of every 501c3 in the United States. So enjoy. Look away. Yours are up there, too. And when I come into your center, before I get there, I will look at your 990s just so I know where we're at. And if I don't see your 990s, I'm going to be hopping up and down and calling your board chair and saying, hey, you haven't been filling out your income tax. That's a problem. So their goals are to target women who will sue you. They persuade attorney generals to sue you. And they pass anti-pregnancy center legislation, and they use government officials and attorneys to do their work. And that's fact. The areas most scrutinized in your center is your medical documentation. Show of hands, how many of you are offering ultrasound? Okay. That's a large part in the room, and that's reflective, I think, of all the centers in CareNet. So that looked about right. In other words, for those of you that didn't look around the room, well over half, of the room has medical services offered. So we need to have our documentation in those files right. We need to advertise correctly. Advertising seems right, but it carries some steep penalties because intercommerce laws affect us. Client interactions, again, your policies and procedures manual. Oh, and board, please note that one of the most important things you have to have in your center is good sexual abuse reporting. That can close you down and put your name on the front of the newspaper. Every state has a little bit different reporting. Make sure you're current on it. What you want in your policies and procedures manual is, how do you report in your community? You want the name of who you report to, so that when your director is on vacation in Hawaii and you have an acting director and a client comes in and says, reportable information, she can open the manual and see who to call. And often it's blurry. There's lines. So I encourage you to have a phone number in there of somebody in your health department or social services that you can call and discuss a case and say, we're looking at this. Should we report it? I think it's probably one of the most critical things you can take away from this workshop. And the sexual abuse reporting laws change. In some states, they're different than others. Some states, you report what you know. Some states, you report what you suspect. And if your state's changed the laws recently from no to suspect, ooh, that's different. So a report away and know how to do it right and document it. The next thing is your client exit interviews. Now, those are important to you in a couple different ways, and they're important to CareNet. It's kind of a cumbersome little thing. The client comes to the center for services, and we serve her needs, and then we say, would you evaluate us on how well we helped you today? And often it's 3 to 5 questions, and we say, did we meet your needs? Were you served with love and compassion? Were you listened to? Things like that. And if we messed up, we sure want to apologize and make steps to get it right. If we did well, it's bragging rights. And at your next banquet, you can say 99% of all the women who walk through the door have a complete satisfaction of our services. You could brag on it. CareNet wants you to report it now so that we can brag across the nation how well women like us. Telephone procedures. Probably your biggest hole of trouble into the center is the phone call. It isn't as likely that a client will come into your center incognito, taping, as it is she will call on the phone and the phone call is being recorded. we hear trouble every now and again, and I always like to use the example I personally heard. Sure enough, Nayral called one of our sinners. It was a sinner in the South, and it went something like this. Client calls and says, I need an abortion. And the sweet volunteer on the other end of the line said something like, honey, you don't want an abortion. It'll make you die and go to hell. That wasn't our best foot forward. We encourage you to really, really be careful on the phone. And then disclosure of services. We advertise what we do, and we don't advertise what we don't do. And abortion education. So to protect your sinner, we want you to adopt, enforce, and display the CareNet commitment of care and competence. If you don't have it, you can pick it off the website. We'd like you to frame it and put it in your waiting room so that clients know what they can expect. It's also good in your waiting room to have no recording allowed in the center. And it's also good to say that if we are not working at the medical center, we are not a medical center. And if you are a medical center, it's great to advertise that in the lobby. Let the clients know what they're getting into. Question? Talking about your cell phone, a client can come in with the cell phone on, push record, and record the whole conversation. It's pretty easy to do. Now, if it's somebody who's really intending to hurt your sinner, the recording device could be as small as a buttonhole camera or a pen. And so we're working before God and everybody else, and we don't lie to our clients. It's just that we don't want them to record the sessions. It's not good for client confidentiality, and it can be edited and made to say things we never said. So it's good to have a sign there. Can we be clever enough to prevent it? Probably not. If somebody's sneaky and has a little hidden camera and a hairpiece or earring or lapel. But I've always noticed that the people that are talking to you, like, hello, and what do you think of this? You speak into the microphone and you kind of pick that one up. And so just a heads up on that. The general disclaimers that you want to have is medical services. You either are or aren't offering medical services. You know if you're offering medical services because you have a doctor or nurse doing it. Ultrasounds must be done by licensed professionals. That's practicing medicine. We don't do tonsillectomies, and we don't do ultrasounds without the proper designation behind our name. We do not provide abortions. We need that plain and simple. Again, no recording. Confidentiality is so important. The smaller your community is, the harder you're going to have to work at this. If you have a community population of 3,000 or so, you are going to have to work at confidentiality day and night. You know, I started this off saying I've made almost all the mistakes you could make just because I wanted you to like me. But here's a mistake I made. We opened up a center in a small community. It was under 3,000. And we got some donated office space, and it was lovely. And I was so thrilled. But soon after we started operations with the sign on the door, we realized a giant mistake. We were exactly across the hall at a shopping mall of a barber shop with a big window in the barber shop. You could see everybody that walked into our center. There was absolutely no confidentiality whatsoever of any woman that walked through the front door. Oops, mistake. Didn't realize that. Had to fix it. Again, sexual abuse reporting. We tell the clients we have to report sexual abuse or attempt to harm yourself or other. And got to get that right. Let's talk about your advertising. Remember, in your Attorney General investigations, they are going to look at your advertising. Print, on the web, and on TV. You want to adopt and enforce policies on truthful advertising. And as a Christian organization, that's motivation to comply. Yellow pages are still being circulated, although most of our clients use the web. But we want to make sure we're in the right headings, and we want to describe our services accurately. And even on our web page, somewhere we have to have a disclaimer that we don't provide abortion services. That one has been ordered. It's not a want to anymore. You have to. Interstate Commerce. We encourage you to avoid self-published materials. I'm not talking about your center brochure. I'm talking about materials that you would give the client supporting our resource, why she shouldn't abort. We've got to get this right. And so what CareNet has done, and you've probably seen our advertising, if not, visit the CareNet table. We have brochures with documentations. The Before You Decide magazine and brochure. The documentation on that is so long and so accurate, we couldn't print all the documentation on the back. So if complete documentation is on our website. It turns out that if we had every single document printed, it would be bigger than our brochure. But you will, if you're reading your center's brochures and you see, we'll be saying facts about abortion procedures or something else, and each footnote has got a number, and you'll see we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13. 9, 10, and 11 are on the website. And we get a chance to defend this in court about once a year. So it's really accurate and well proven. And if you must write something about abortion procedures or post-abortion stress or the implications of breast cancer and abortion, do have a doctor or an attorney review it. We have our stuff. We have a panel that reviews it. Also, there's a lot of great companies that make brochures for pregnancy centers to buy. And just make sure that their documentation is up to speed. We don't like any reference over 5 years old that isn't state-of-the-art reference. Indisputable references. Yeah, question. I'm going to be talking about Illinois. I'm glad you brought that up. California, too, and New York.
Now, does the board of directors oversee the money advertising? And do you all on that, or is that the director?
You know, that is a good question. The question is, does the board of directors oversee this? As board members, you hire a director to do all this stuff for you. But you have to know, is it's done. Do a check in your center and make sure you're up to the baseline.
No,
not me.
That
make sure your work is up to baseline, because maybe your director doesn't know. So it could be, director, show us where we are. What have we got going here? Show us our policies and procedures manual. Now, does the board write the whole thing? No. First of all, CareNet's got a sample policies and procedures manual that you can download. It's also on the website, and it gives you guidelines. Then, as a board, you govern off the policies, and the director manages off the procedures. So, board, you don't want to set the dress code for the center. Let the director do that. But you sure want to know the policies you govern off of. But to bring your center up to speed, ask all these questions. Where are our exit interviews? What are we using for materials? Are they current? Have we? Ask all these questions you're hearing today. And then once you've brought your center up to the right level and you've hired the right director,
then it should go pretty easy as board members. And I'd like to also segue off of your question. In so many of the materials, it'll be written, and the board will decide. And I have the privilege of working with boards across the country. Recently, I worked with a board where the chief financial officer of the hospital was on the board, the city manager was on the board, and the neighboring town manager was on the board. And they knew about as much about running a pregnancy center as they did practicing medicine. Nothing. And so you're always on the same level. What are we supposed to know to run a pregnancy center? Now, if you were on the board of the local softball team, often it's get a cold drink in your hand and we'll just fool around and it's no big deal. But you are running a pregnancy center and we have big enemies that are watching us. Perhaps even the devil himself. Mm-hmm. We are doing a monumental work in a point of time that has never been done before. This is only 40, 43 years in America that abortion has been legal. There was another time. There was another time recorded way back when. Way back when in recorded history, it's in the book of Exodus. And in that book, it talks about government. They call that one Pharaoh. And that government said there's a large population of people and we don't want them anymore and we're going to kill them. Those would have been Hebrews. And the government said to the midwives, you go out and kill all the baby boys. That was a big population. But there are three head midwives whose names are in recorded history. And members of this audience, I submit, we are in the same battle that they were. We have raised our little heads and said, we will stand against the death of the babies. We are here to protect. I don't know how much to do. I don't know how to do what I got to do. But God help me, I'm here. And we are at another point in history. We are standing in time. And the work you're doing is passionately important. And yes, we have enemies. But we also have a God that loves us. And remember, as Jesus was born, he had an angel tell his folk he's on the way. But his cousins and nephews apparently didn't get an angelical visit. And he knows what you're doing in pregnancy centers. So this is a point of time to be proud of. Well, next point, make sure that your insurance covers false advertising claims. I'll just take us down from that high. Also, note to the file. Check your homeowner's policy if you own a home or you have renter's insurance. See if it covers your volunteer activities. It usually does. So you would have that. And ask your director to check the advertising policy and make sure you have board of director coverage. Now, the center's got insurance in case that somebody falls over the rug. And what makes the insurance company so special that are here in the vendor's booth is that they have errors and omissions insurance, what they should have said that didn't say. And that is the best thing. That's what we want the insurance for. Anybody can insure you for tripping over the rug, but for not saying or saying, that's what we want the stuff. And then the second level of insurance is for board members. I don't have much, but what I have, I'd like to keep. So I will not sit on a board that doesn't have board members' insurance. And I also know I have a homeowner's policy that protects my volunteer work, too. To some extent, I've never had to use it. I have farmer's insurance, but at least it says it will. So get your insurance stuff. Now, I talked about the phone. That's the biggest leak that NARAL's going after. Audit your phone practices and tell your director, if a director is in the room, check. Call your center and check. Tell your people you're going to check. And while we're talking about this, board members, our directors are usually board members. CareNet recommends that your director is a non-voting board member. We've chosen non-voting because the IRS likes it that way. Some people think, well, it's better to have the director as a voting board member, but CareNet's recommendation on the director should be a non-voting board member is because the IRS likes it that way. And we always like to do it the way they want to. So, check. The phone is the biggest breach. If somebody's going to be taking a pot shot at us, it'll be over the phone. And then we talk about, you know, just get the information clear. And the final point is if somebody calls about abortion services, the answer is we do not do abortions. We have other services. Let me tell you about them. But we do not do abortion. There was a time when there was an affiliation that wanted their volunteers to dress up in white lab coats and pretend like they were doctors, and they did abortions. That affiliation has been shut down years ago, lawsuits. So we're honest Christians is what we are. But let's drill down on what you need on your abortion practices. 5 minutes till lunch. Hang with me. Audit your abortion education practices. Make sure that you say you don't do abortions. The client should sign that on the intake form. It should be somewhere on your advertising on your website. The Yellow Pages is going to make it easy for you. They've already given us a heading of abortion alternatives, and they stick us there. Yellow Page advertising used to be the only way to go. Now clients don't use the phone book. And we manage skillfully and corporately, but we keep our doors open for the early teen who's never bought a medical procedure before in her life or been pregnant. So we got to talk to her. We provide medically sourced information. And again, I'm talking to you about the dangers of using self-published or out-of-date materials. And then the final one, we don't show graphic images to clients. There was a lawsuit behind that, not against CareNet. But the idea once was if we put a client in the room and show her pictures of aborted baby parts or show her a film on how they rip a baby apart, that will make her a believer. And sure enough, you can scare her to death in the counseling room. But then she leaves and recovers, and she doesn't have the information she needs to carry the baby. But she might have enough information to press charges against you because we've caused her harm. So to protect your sinner, we say don't show her graphic abortion procedures. You'll notice that CareNet has produced a film recently that discusses abortion procedures, but it uses cartoon figures in a good way. So, again, we've got your back there. We do discuss abortion procedures. Yes, we do. And on all of the materials we print, it's usually on the staple page so that I can find it easily and other directors can too. We're pros at discussing abortion procedures. And I think we are best qualified to discuss abortion procedures because we are not receiving money if she buys an abortion. Whereas abortion providers receive money for her decision. That's how they make their house payment. So we are very qualified to discuss abortion, and we do and we should discuss abortion, but not graphic images. And somebody that's come. That would probably not be in good taste. A client is somebody who walks through the door or on the phone for our services. In volunteer training, yes, you can show graphic if you want because that is not a client. But it's very painful to those who've aborted. And it's shocking. But it's okay in volunteer training if your director wishes. What we're talking about is with client. Did I answer that sufficiently?
Yes.
Okay. And then with our pregnancy tests, we've got to get that right. You should have written policies in your policies and procedures manual on how we do pregnancy tests. That way, if your attorney general comes after you, he can read it and get it right. We use the self-testing model unless you have a medical license. That's because of New York City, New York State. And as we get here after lunch, we'll see that different states, California, Baltimore, Illinois, are shaping the way we also have to work, and I will be addressing those states in general. But what had happened was in New York State, we were all having clients come in, and we put their urine on a slide, and you wait a few seconds, and it turns pink or blue or two lines or one. It's the same thing you're buying in the dollar store. But to interpret those simple tests, you need a medical license. If you don't have a medical license, then the client does the test herself and interprets it. We ask her, positive says two lines. How many lines do you see? Two lines. Okay. She just did her own test. And that's how we make ourselves very safe without practicing medicine. Any questions on that? Okay. Then we offer tests without undue conditions. All right, here's a condition I saw. In one center, the director said, we have to have the gospel presentation and the client has to accept Christ before we do the pregnancy test.
Oh,
undue condition. We avoid needless questions on the intake form. Let's don't ask what we don't need to know, because everything we ask is information we have to protect. So I know there's firms that do wonderful online bookkeeping for you, and they have a list of about 100 or two questions you could ask the client. One question I particularly don't like is, when did your mother become sexually active? If you buy your data from a firm like that, and there's many questions they'll offer you, take the questions you need. And this is just me personally, but I don't need to know when the client's mother became sexually active. I just don't even want to know when my own mother became sexually active. And if you are to a medical facility, don't pretend like you are. Okay, now we get to break for lunch. There is the option, as we said, to grab a bite and bring it here, and we are going to talk, answer any questions you have, pick about any problems you might want us to. Or if you want to be free for a while, do. The quickest place to get a lunch and the cheapest I've found in the building is the Peekaboo. It's on the bottom floor, and it's a grab salad or sandwich, and you could bring it up here. They're also cheap. Okay, be dismissed, and we'll resume at what time? 2:00.
2:00.
Back here at 2:00.
2:00.